Solidarity means a feeling of unity between people who have the same interests, goals, etc. Was first used in English in 1841. It first came to my attention in 1980 when the Polish people founded a trade union by that name to stand up to communism, which had not yet crumbled in Eastern Europe. It's a good feeling to be at one with others in a common cause. It's a better feeling to be at one with God in the cause of your salvation. God is one with us in our flesh. The invisible, immortal, eternal, almighty God is one with us in our flesh. In the person of Jesus, he knows how it feels to be born and even to grow. Luke 2 says of Jesus, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." How can that be? How could the one who is invisible have shown up on an ultrasound? How can the immortal take on mortality? The eternal grow in time? The almighty become a helpless baby? I don't know how the one who walks the halls of pristine heaven, the one whom Job said even angels are not pure enough for, I don't know how this one can know, have, and feel all of our bodily functions. God in flesh and blood was no stranger to ingestion, digestion, or elimination. In all the body functions that aren't gone into in polite company, God in Christ was in solidarity with us. This is true even when those functions were afflicted, diseased, sick. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, says Isaiah. From head colds to stomach flus to rashes to sleeplessness, the God who was one with us in flesh and blood was one with us in these two. You are amazed when a lower life form shows you sympathy when you're sad. You're comforted by the cat or the dog that nuzzles you when you're sick. You don't feel so lonely when the dog bounds toward you or your parrot talks to you. Even people with fish and snakes find solace in their apparent solidarity with them. But you're not amazed, you're not dumbstruck, you're not dumbfounded, how about comforted, that the one infinitely above and beyond you is one with you in your flesh. Solidarity. That's what we're celebrating this Ascension Day. God is one with us in the flesh and one with us in temptation. Scripture says that. It says we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way we are, just without sin. From the devil in blue jeans to temptations that make our mouth water, to temptations that feel too strong for flesh and blood, to ones that roil and boil them, God in flesh and blood knew them, experienced them. In the midst of temptation, right is wrong and down is up. As the song goes, if it feels so right, then it can't be wrong. Temptation teaches, preaches, and convinces you that you will die unless you give up, give in, and go along. When we think temptation, we primarily think sexual. But we learn from Jesus' great temptation that temptation is primarily about fearing, loving, and trusting God above all else. Fearing, loving, and trusting God above the need for food, fellowship, sex, success, happiness, or health. Learn from our catechism that temptation starts not with allurement from outside, but from misbelief inside. And God is right there with you in it. You have solidarity with the one true God in the midst of temptations that break your heart, soul, and mind. Psalm 103 assures us that God knows we are but dust. Now, how does he know that? Not just because he made us, but because he descended into our dust. Hebrews 4 says Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses because He was tempted in all the ways we are. Hebrews 2 says because Jesus Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. But you know, being tempted is not sin. The fact that temptations fly through your head faster than birds in flight and in flocks at a time, that's no sin. Giving in, going along in thought or deed is. But God is not only one with you in temptation, but one with you in sin. It's not like that old Lone Ranger joke where he and Tonto are surrounded by Indians and the Lone Ranger asks Tonto, "Well, what are we going to do?" And Tonto responds, "What do you mean, we, white man?" Even when we're surrounded by the sins we have welcomed with open hearts and arms, God refuses to break solidarity with us. He does not say, "What do you mean, we, sinner?" Actually, God is not one with us. He's the one out in front of us. When you read your Psalms, you should be hearing that Jesus was the target of all God's arrows of judgment. All the waves of God's wrath broke on Jesus' shores first. The law ran at Jesus like an armed warrior, and Jesus said to you, "Quick, get behind me." Again, you would all and oh at a dog throwing its body before an attacker, yet you sit there unknowing, unmoved, uncaring that the true God did that for you when death and the devil charged at you with all of God's wrath behind them. Maybe you really don't know what God in Jesus did for you. Maybe you never felt utter shame for something you thought, said, or did. Maybe you never feared a punishment you really deserved. I know how mad I can get when someone has wronged me. I know how I can stare daggers at the clerk who I think mistreated me. I know I can spit menacing words at someone I think is wronging me. I know how mad I've gotten at my children when they failed to fear my anger or to love and trust me as their father. But the Holy God? No. I'm quite sure it doesn't bother Him when I fear the economy or weak human beings more than Him. I'm sure the true God does not mind when I trust the words of men more than His word. I'm sure the fact that I can express love for food and drink in the same way I can express love for Him, I don't think that's any biggie for Him either. God the Son was so much in solidarity with my sin and sinfulness that when God's cup of wrath was poured, He pushed me out of the way and He drank it all up. When the arrows of God's judgment were let loose, Jesus shoved me aside, so two pierced His hands, one pierced His feet, and another His side. When death and devil charged, demanding their rightful payment from me, God and Jesus met these armed maniacs and said, "I'll pay for him." But even that's not what we're here celebrating tonight. We're not so much celebrating the fact that God is one with us in our flesh, or in our temptations, or even in our sins, but that He's one with us right now. This is what the ascension marked. Remember, after Jesus rose from the dead, He told Mary Magdalene that she could not hold on to Him because He had not yet ascended to His Father. All she could do until He did that was to be one with Him at one place, at one time, like she did during His earthly ministry. But after His ascension, she could hold on to Him all the time, anywhere. The Russian soldiers have an expression, something like "feel of cloth." It refers to the solidarity, the good feeling they get being shoulder to shoulder heading into harm's way. Now, I'm a person with a big personal space. I don't want to be touching the person next to me in the pew, even if they're family. But when I did my first parachute jump, I remember it feeling good sitting between two other soldiers who were going out that same door with me. The warmth from their bodies warmed my heart. The touch of their shoulders assured me I wasn't alone. There was strength in this solidarity. I didn't even know those guys, much less like them, or even know what, if anything, they felt about me. Your Jesus, God the Son, does know you. And He likes you so much, He loves you unconditionally. As you taxi down life's runway and take off into the skies above, He's there, shoulder to shoulder with you. As the door swings open and you hear the fearful rushing sound of change, of illness, or even the roar of death, Jesus remains by your side. He's going through this with you, come hell or high water, because of the shallow but sacred waters of baptism. More about that in a second. First, we go to Samuel B. Roberts. The USS Samuel B. Roberts was a destroyer escort in World War II. It was part of a Navy convoy that was surprised by a vastly superior Japanese fleet off the Philippine Islands during the U.S. retaking of them. The Samuel B. Roberts charged right into the teeth of the enemy. She was destroyed and sank. Many men died. Many more were adrift in the sea for days. Some went crazy. Some were eaten by sharks. Some swam off into the night, never to be seen again. In December 1984, the Navy christened a second USS Samuel B. Roberts. It was a guided missile frigate. In 1988, during the Iran-Iraq War, it was escorting a ship in the Persian Gulf and struck an Iranian mine. With a hole 20 feet long in its side, enough to sink most ships her size, her crew worked furiously to save a ship that was taking on water a foot at a time every 15 minutes. The second Samuel B. Roberts had a plaque amidships honoring her namesake with the names of all the fallen that were lost in 1944. The 1988 captain said that in that fierce struggle to save the ship, all the sailors passing by that plaque touched it, showing their solidarity with those who died in 1944 and gaining strength from their sacrifice. Now, if those sailors could get a sense of solidarity from a plaque, how much more solidarity do we really get from the God who washes our bodies and souls with the very same water He was, and which water now sprinkles us with His sin-covering blood? If those sailors got strength, got courage, got comfort from a plaque bearing the names of men before them who had made a great sacrifice, how much more can you get from the actual body and blood of Jesus sacrificed on the cross? You can see those sailors running by quickly and touching the plaque. You know they certainly feel a solidarity with those before them. The baptism that washed over you, the body and blood of Jesus that you eat and drink, actually gives you, actually conveys to you solidarity with Him. Paul says baptism clothes you with Jesus. You come away from baptism dressed in Jesus' blood and righteousness. You come away with communion, you come away from communion with the body and blood of Jesus flowing through yours. In these things, that is where the ascended Jesus holds on to you, and you are to hold on to Him. Here's where you are to know there is solidarity between you and Him in life, in sickness, in health, till death not part you, but join you face to face. Amen.